We want to welcome you here. You're at the workshop on why seminary. So our job here is to help you kind of understand what seminary is, kind of the distinctives of our individual seminaries, and then to answer any questions that you might have about seminary and seminary education. And we all want to start out by saying that we have six Southern Baptist seminaries, and you can't go wrong at any six. All of our recruiters will tell you that. Our job in recruiting is not to make sure you end up at our seminary. Our job is to help you discern what God's doing in your life and where the best place for you to be. So if you came to me and said, I want to do counseling, I would send you to Southern, or I'd send you to another seminary. We don't have a counseling degree. So that's kind of the spirit that we come to this with. I'm Joe Caldwell. I represent Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, our five campuses here in the West. I'm a recruitment manager, and I teach spiritual formation at the seminary, and I'm also a PhD student at Golden Gate.
My name is Andy Peck. I'm a first-year Master of Divinity student at Midwestern Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri. We have extension campuses in Oklahoma, in St. Louis, Nebraska, and a few other places. But this is my wife, Sasha, and she's here with me. We're here all week, and I look forward to sharing a little bit more later on.
My name is Ed, and I'm representing Southern, and I am working on my third degree from Southern. Always says that I'll probably be in a wheelchair by the time I finish. I have at least two more that I'd like to get, so after this one. So, I've experienced Southern from just about every angle. I worked in the admissions department, oversaw recruiting for about 5 years there, and so I've seen it as a student and also as a staff or a faculty member. And just echo, you know, I mean, all of our seminaries are in good hands, in the right direction, and have great leadership at all of them. So hopefully we can help you. You know, I don't think any of us want you anywhere other than where God wants you. And that's, you know, what I would hope that you would search out is God's will for your life, not what you want or what I want or the institutions want, but what God wants for your life is what all of us would pray for you.
Andy, will you open us in prayer?
Sure. Lord God, we love you. Thank you for this time, this opportunity. Thank you for each of the students that are here. God, we just pray that you would be giving them clear direction as to the calling on their lives, whether to be full-time missionaries, whether to be pastors, teachers, counselors, or whether to do lay ministry, God, in the workforce. Lord, you call us each to different things, and you equip us for those tasks. Lord, thank you that each of the representatives here has had experience with our seminaries, Lord. You're equipping me now and each of them as well. And Lord, we just pray that, that you would direct, clearly direct each of these students to what you would have for their lives and help us answer their questions about seminary today. We love you. Pray you continue to work through the speakers and through the small group time today and the rest of the week. Take them back safely to their campuses as missionaries, Lord. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. How about you start?
All right, I'll start. That'd be great. Let me tell you a little bit about what makes Golden Gate, I think, different from some of our other seminaries. Golden Gate has five campuses in the West, including one here in Denver. Our only residential campus is in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're four exits up from the Golden Gate Bridge. Our campus is about 120 acres that overlooks the San Francisco Bay. Your classrooms, you'll be looking at the city across the bay, which is really very distracting. But, you know, you need some distraction in the middle of theology. Golden Gate has for years been known as the mission seminary, primarily because the Bay Area is one of the most diverse areas in the country. Any people group you would ever think of encountering, you're going to encounter in the Bay Area. Our other regional campuses are in major urban centers like Denver, like Phoenix. So our faculty, our students are all geared towards ministry. We're a highly practically oriented degree program. Most of our faculty are currently engaged in major ministries. Dr. Ganey, who teaches education, has a 700-member multicultural church. That church has no single ethnic group that can claim a majority in that congregation, and he teaches full-time on our faculty. One of our church history professors has pastored, has been in an interim pastorate his entire 20 years. Many of our faculty have taught in seminaries overseas and have been foreign missionaries. So you get faculty who are both academically prepared, but who also are currently doing ministry where it matters. We like to say that if you come to us, you have to be a missionary. You have to be a minister. Where our campus at Mill Valley is located, 1% of the population claims to be Christian of any kind. The majority of that would be Catholic or Episcopalian. Evangelicals are far less than 1% in Marin. So if you come to us, you get a job at Starbucks, the people you're working with aren't going to be Christians. The people you're meeting every day aren't going to be Christians. The opportunities to pastor, to be a youth minister, to be the person in charge are huge at any of our campuses. There are great needs where we are. So if you come to us, you need to think about we're coming not just to get an education, but we're also coming to minister. And that's the mission of the seminary, to prepare you to minister in the West and the world beyond. Al's here. He's with our Colorado campus. I'm going to give him one minute of my five to tell you a little bit about the campus here in Denver.
Hi, pleasure to be here. Just to let you know, I'm a first year and a student there. I've just basically started, and it's just such an enjoyable experience to be able to kind of like what was already described, that idea of, you know, you are learning more about different tools, different things to contribute, but the same idea of just to reinforce you are already in ministry. You're not coming here to figure it out, but to say, you know, someday I will be in ministry. The time is right now, and what we're doing is we're equipping you. And the campus in Denver is just, it's well run, it's top notch. For those people like myself, already plugged into ministry and are unable to go to the San Francisco campus and do school out there, it gives the opportunity to stay where you are, to continue to do ministry, but within just a short distance, you know, you're able to go and get the same quality education as you would at the main campus. So I've just been highly impressed since I've been there. Would definitely recommend it to anybody.
Okay. Ed?
Southern, founded in 1859. You'll notice on the most of our material that it says the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And we're very proud of that "the." Actually, at times, way too proud of that "the." centrally located, 75% of the population of the United States is within a day's drive of Louisville. And Louisville, unlike San Francisco, everybody in Louisville thinks there's a Christian. And so our task is to convince them that walking an aisle and saying a prayer is not a fire insurance policy, but that a relationship with Jesus Christ is what is required. So each semester at Southern, all of our students sign before they're allowed to register for classes where they're plugged in and what they're doing. We have 163 churches in the local association, which, especially for on the West Coast, is considerably different. The largest association in the United States is the Long Run Baptist Association. So 3,000 evangelical churches within a 90-minute drive. So plenty of opportunities for ministry while you're there. Southern started in Greenville, South Carolina. The Civil War broke out shortly after that, and we moved providentially to Louisville. I think our ministry could be much more effective there. We have extension centers in Wake Forest, Kansas City, Fort Worth, San Francisco, and that was a joke for the reps here. We love all of our sister seminaries, and so we look forward to. I think probably as history looks back, the faculty that Dr. Moeller has assembled at Southern will go down as one of the best theological faculties ever assembled at one time in one place, not just Southern Baptist wise, but I think conservative evangelical. I think when people think of theological education today in the conservative evangelical circles, I think that Southern's name comes up in that. So, yet, you know, we are, a third of our budget comes from cooperative program dollars, and so we appreciate all of you that are Southern Baptists and contribute and pay for a third of our operating cost. We're not exclusively Southern Baptists in our student population either. And I think that that speaks well to the faculty that Dr. Moeller has assembled at Southern. My experience with the faculty, I pastor full-time now, and I don't remember ever, and I'm sure the other guys can tell you the same thing, I don't remember ever going to any of my professors at any point and asking for advice and them not having words of wisdom or guidance for me for practical ministry. I love what Al said. It's something that I remind people of on a regular basis. You know, seminary is not about preparing for ministry, although it is there to prepare you, but it really is, you know, to guide you in the ministry you're doing now. There's not something out there in the future for you to do. Our first call is, I think, to obedience and not necessarily to ministry per se. It's a call. Nothing's more important to God than your obedience today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't get yourself so focused on, I'm called to this, that you got blinders on. You can't even see what God is bringing into the picture for you to do. Each of you is uniquely gifted and created for a reason. And all of the experiences that are in your life, bad or good, God is using for His glory and your benefit if you will just stay open to whatever He has for you. And I surrendered ministry late in life and spent probably the first 3 or 4 years thinking I had to make up for all that lost time. And you know, the further I've gone in ministry, the more I've realized that God really is using and will continue to use everything, even my running from a call to ministry for almost 12 years. So just stay open and remember that call to the obedience of God and what He's got for you. And you won't go wrong if you make that the center of your life.
We'll give Andy 45 minutes each.
Yeah, so get ready. Buckle up. Well, as I said earlier, my name is Andy Peck. I'm from Midwestern Seminary. Yeah, you'll notice that each of the main distinctive of each of our titles is simply the directional, you know, so Midwestern, we're in the Midwest. So as far as main campuses, Kansas City Midwestern is probably the closest main campus to here. I thought I would talk, before I talk too much about Midwestern, I noticed that the title of the seminar was Is Seminary in My Future? So, you know, I assume that not all of you guys are necessarily convinced that that this is exactly what God wants for you to go to seminary. So I thought I'd talk for just a second, since I'm maybe closest in age to some of you guys, of just where I'm at as a first-year MDiv student and kind of what was the process that I went through in deciding to go to seminary. So I went to the University of Missouri, Columbia, which is a very, very large campus, about 28,000 students or so, and very secular. And I didn't grow up in the type of house where, with a family that it was just a given that I was going to go to like a Christian university or something. So my dad had gone to Mizzou, and so I went to Mizzou as well. Praise the Lord, when I got there, I was walking through one of the lobbies one day, and I noticed the booth said Campus Crusade for Christ, and I had never heard of Campus Crusade for Christ, but I thought, it's got Christ in the title, I bet they know where a good church is. Or I bet some of those guys go to church, and so I stopped by and I found out where each one of them went to church and wound up going to the main church that each of them went to. So I was involved in a real strong, not a Southern Baptist church, it's just independent Bible church throughout college, and got really heavily involved in that ministry. Towards the end of my freshman year, they asked me if I would lead a Bible study, and that was a pretty big jump for me to go ahead and lead a Bible study. But I prayed about it and felt like, well, if they're willing to entrust me with leading a Bible study, then you know, I guess the Lord can prepare me maybe over the summer to do it. And I actually went on a summer project that really helped prepare me for that summer, and came back to campus and started leading a Bible study, and taught me a lot about faithfulness and going out and really trying to engage the campus and evangelism and that sort of thing. I did that throughout college, first kind of officially through that ministry, and then I became an RA, or we call them PAs and CAs, a peer advisor in the dorms, and I really looked at that as my mission. You know, I lived on basically a floor of about 80 students, and then I had, you know, somewhat of authority in a dorm of about, you know, 200-300 students. But the fact that my door was open every day and students came by my room, I just looked at it as I was like forced to be a missionary, you know, because I lived in the dorms 2 years before that. But what I found was that it was really easy to, I was so caught up in all the Christian meetings that I went to. I mean, I was leading a Bible study. I was going to Bible study leaders meetings to learn how to lead Bible studies. We had weekly meetings. I was going to church. I was studying Greek with my pastor. Then trying to do my work, and I was also playing trumpet in the marching band. And so even though I was living in the dorms and really asking God, you know, use me here in the dorm, I was never there. And my sophomore year, I remember I had a friend that came to school, and I remember that I was always praying for him, and I was pretty sure he was a Christian, but I wanted to see him really grow in his faith when he was at college. But what I found was that I was always inviting him to things. And it's good to invite people to things, but I realized that the only way I was ever going to get to spend some time with him was if he came to an event that I was already going to, because my schedule was full, you know? So my junior year, I kind of put an end to all that and said no to about, you know, 10 different things that the ministry that I was involved in was asking me to do. And just said, no, I'm going to be a peer advisor and be a missionary in the dorms. And really, that was a very effective ministry for me, and discipled a lot of freshman guys that were involved in tons of different ministries. And so because it wasn't a Bible study through that specific ministry. So I graduated, definitely a real heart for ministry, but at that point I did not really have that feeling of, you know, God wants me to go to seminary. And the first time I ever even thought about seminary, I remember, because I grew up, the Southern Baptist Church that I did grow up going to, we always had interim pastors from Midwestern. I grew up about maybe 10, 15 minutes from Midwestern in high school. But even at that point, even though we had youth pastors and pastors from Midwestern, it was just like, I mean, seminary to me was just like a foreign concept. I never thought about it, never had any family that went to seminary. It just wasn't on my radar. But I remember my freshman year, after I started to get involved in the ministry, reading the Bible actually, you know, consistently, and someone mentioned seminary and how, you know, in my memory, it was like, you just go and you study the Bible all the time. And I thought, for the first time, I thought, yeah, seminary, you know, because, you know, then I would be actually studying what I really wanted to study. You know, I remember my junior year at Mizzou in my biological anthropology class, which they should just call evolution class. And I was sitting there, and the foreign professor was going through a slide presentation of exactly what was in the book in broken English. And it was all about evolution. And I was totally, it was a, when I read the book, I was like, this is the worst argument, you know, for evolution. But I remember sitting in my class thinking, what am I doing in here? You know, I'm wasting my time. And so it's like 400 person lecture. I stood up, I was in the middle of the aisle, you know, so I got 20 people on both sides of me. And I walked all the way out of the auditorium, walked to my dorm, got in my car, drove straight to my church, went to my pastor's office, and I said, Pastor Bert, what do I do? Because I don't think I'm supposed to be sitting in this class, you know? And I said, I think I should just go home and read the Bible every day for like a year. And then I think, you know, then I'll be ready. You know, I'll just know the Bible backwards and forwards. He goes, Andy, I think you get bored in about 2 weeks. And I was like, I think I could convince my parents to support me, you know, while I'm just sitting in my room cloistered. He's like, you get bored in 2 weeks. And I was like, okay. And he said, you know, calling, your calling has you're going to have preparation, opportunity, and then the desire as well. So he said, you know, when God calls you to something, you're really, it's going to, you know, he's using Mizzou right now to shape you. All that said, I graduated, so I'm not thinking about seminary really. God led me into the insurance industry, and I sold insurance for 2 years. And it was a commission-only job, so I could kind of set my own schedule, which was nice. And I was still in Columbia, so I could still do a lot of ministry on campus. For the first year or so, I sold insurance. I still had some relationships with people, but man, I just felt like, man, I'm so close to the college. I got all these contacts, these guys that I've discipled, and I kept having this feeling, you know, Andy, devote one day a week to ministry. And that basically meant cut your salary in half, or cut your salary by one quarter, because we had a 4-day work week with my company. So after a year, I was like, all right. So when I started that second year, the first day classes started, all right, okay. So we had an 8 o'clock business meeting. At 9 o'clock, I just went straight to campus. And I was like, all right, Lord. And I went to the library. I prayed. Some days I fasted. I read the Word. And then I'd walk around campus with gospel tracts and say, Lord, direct me. Whoever you want me to talk to, wherever you want me to go. And every single Monday from 9 a.m. to probably midnight, my schedule was packed. And it was just, I don't know, God moving, shaking things up, people getting saved. I remember one day I just felt like, go to your old dorm room. You know, like nostalgic. Go to your old dorm room, Andy. And so I'm walking, I go up to my old dorm room. And I knock on the door, and it happens to be a guy lives in there who's involved in this certain ministry on campus, and I had met him briefly about a week before. And so he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I used to live here. And my name was like on the side of the door with my height, you know, and there's about 20 different people who'd lived there for the last, I don't know how many years. And anyway, I sat down and started just talking to him and getting to know him and tell him that I just had a heart to pour into, you know, college student guys. And so after about 45 minutes, he goes, this might sound weird, but would you disciple me? And I spent 45 minutes with this guy, but for whatever reason, he was ready for me to be the one that, you know, disciples him. And right now, we're also recruiting at a conference across, down the road, but he just graduated. He's about to go be a missionary in Cameroon, Africa. And so I say all that to say that this, I'm just kind of telling you my story. And after 2 years, my ministry Mondays were turning into like ministry Monday and Tuesdays, you know, and my salary was going down like this, and then like, you know, evangelism was going up, and I was thinking, all right, Lord, something's got to change here. And I was less and less interested in selling insurance, and I was more and more interested in spending more time with students. And so I said, all right, I just prayed, God, you've got to please provide me an opportunity to do this like full time. And I went to a Promise Keepers conference in St. Louis, and I went around to all these different booths in the concourse, and I met all these people at all these different ministries. And as I talked to them, because I guess I was assuming that it was like just kind of a part-time job that they had, and as I talked to them, I realized, and I would ask them, "So this is your full-time job?" You know, and it was like, you know, sports ministry or camp ministry or whatever. And they're like, "Yeah, this is my full-time job. You get paid to do ministry?" You know, and like, yeah. I was like, that's amazing. And so over the next few days and weeks, I was just praying, and I was like, because it started to dawn on me, well, that's what I want to do. I mean, obviously, I mean, I'd love to just do ministry all the time. And then I started thinking, and the thought hit me, everybody wants to do ministry all the time, you know, right? Right? Every Christian, that's all they want to do, right? Christians don't, you know, if you really have a heart for ministry, that's really your end goal, you know? So anyway, it dawned on me that I was totally wrong. And that maybe it was unique, you know, maybe it was unique that God actually, he calls some people to have that, to have a heart to just do that all the time and not get burnt out, you know. And so I said, okay, so maybe that is the call that I've always heard about, you know, that call to do full-time ministry. So I went to my pastor and I said, all right, I've been praying about it, and I would like you to put me on staff here at the church. And so they did. About a month or two later, they made me the college and small groups pastor. And so I served in that role for about 2 years after I sold insurance. And then I started getting all these questions, you know. So where did you go to seminary? I actually haven't been to seminary, you know. And there are some kids in the church, and one of the little girls one day goes, my dad told me that you're not a real pastor. I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, because he said, to be a real pastor, you have to go to seminary, and you didn't go. I was like, oh, okay. So I don't say that to guilt you into to going to seminary, but really, even at that point of being a pastor, I just really, I wasn't having this, I didn't feel like I was being called to go to seminary. So after 2 years, one day my pastor said, Andy, I'd like to see you in my office. And I'd never had like a bad meeting with him, you know, like a discipline meeting. I was like, what in the world is he going to talk to me about? What did I do? And so I went and sat down in his office. He said, Andy, I'd like to just like ask you a question. I said, okay. And he goes, how long, you know, do you plan on doing ministry? You know, he's like, because I know you sold insurance for a couple years, you know, and thought, you know, some people will kind of, you know, maybe go back to the business world or whatever. Just kind of wondering what are your plans? And I said, well, lifetime. You know, I mean, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not going to get tired of doing this. I want to serve God full time the rest of my life. He's like, that's kind of what I was thinking, you know. He's like, you know, what I'd like to propose or what I'd like you to pray about is I would like you to pray about going to seminary. And he had talked to some of the other pastors and elders in our church, and there's just kind of this consensus that that they felt like for them to keep me there as a pastor without encouraging me to think about going to seminary and even supporting me to go to seminary, that it would be kind of maybe stunting my growth or stunting my ability to be the best pastor I could be or the best missionary I could be. And so I prayed about it. I went home and talked to Sasha. We'd planned on staying in Columbia, Missouri until God called us away, but at that point he had not. And so we were just kind of planning on staying there for quite a few years. And so it was a pretty big shock, and I was like, all right, Lord, if I'm going to go to seminary, then you're going to have to do this in both, you know, mine and Sasha's heart. And so I waited for probably at least till like later that night. I didn't talk about it for about 5 hours. And then finally, she said, you know, what was that meeting with Pastor Bird about? I was like, And so anyway, I did it verbatim with her. And so anyway, we prayed about it for a good solid 2 weeks or so, and I started looking into different seminaries. I didn't even know that there were 6 Southern Baptist seminaries. The pastors in my church had gone to a different seminary that's in Kansas City, Calvary Bible College, and so I thought, well, surely Pastor Bert's going to recommend Calvary. And so I said, well, where would you recommend, Pastor Bert? He goes, honestly, Andy, I'd recommend Midwestern. So I'm thinking, you didn't even go there, you know? All I've ever heard you talk about is Calvary. He not only had he gone to Calvary, he's on one of the boards there at Calvary, but his uncle Jim Anderson is the director of undergraduate studies at Midwestern, and my pastor had started to teach. He teaches extension classes for Midwestern in Columbia, and he teaches Greek and New Testament and that sort of thing. And so he said, you know, I know that that's closer to your family. He said it's a good seminary because it's a very good cost, you know, for your money. Southern Baptist seminaries, if you guys do some research, because you'll hear about, you know, Dallas and obviously in Denver. You hear about, Trinity and that sort of thing. But really, at Talbot, if you really do some research on the cost of seminaries, I know Midwestern's around 150 a credit hour if you're involved in a Southern Baptist church. And as I did research, I realized that a lot of those seminaries are $500, $600, $700 a credit hour. I'm going full time as a student. My wife's working full time. I have a part time job to help out with expenses. But basically, I can go there for about $4,000 a year and get my degree in about 3 years. But a lot of other seminaries, it's definitely closer to $16,000 or $20,000 a year. We're trying to be real responsible with finances. I didn't want to take out loans, and I knew that going to a $20,000 a year seminary, we would have to take out loans. And so I thought, $4,000 a year, we can work hard. Our church is sponsoring us for about half of that cost, and so that's a huge blessing. But, so to be able to be close to my home at Midwestern, we scheduled a campus visit, came, took a tour, we met some of the professors, they took us out to get some Kansas City barbecue, and just toured the campus. We've got about 200 acres there on Midwestern's campus, so a lot of it's wooded and undeveloped, but there's a nice classroom building, a nice chapel. We just acquired the Spurgeon collection, all of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's library, which is huge, and they're basically refinishing that, and they're creating a large space to kind of display that. But there's three different apartment complexes on campus, so my wife and I live on campus, and definitely as far as living in a, you know, in a major city, that was also a factor is, you know, where are we going to live and be able to afford it? But for $428 a month for a two-bedroom apartment, you know, is very affordable. So transition into talking a little bit more about the seminary. Anyway, the indecision was that we decided to go. And so stopped being the college pastor and moved over to Midwestern in May. And I took one class over the summer and just kind of got, Sasha and I got acquainted with the city. And Sasha found a full-time job, and then I started full-time this fall. Took New Testament, New Testament 1, which covers all of the Gospels, and then Acts, and then I'll finish that next semester. Some of my other classes I took were New Testament Greek. If you take a, if you do a Master's of Divinity, one of the distinctives is that, that will typically always include, like, the languages, you know? So you can get a master's degree and still come away with a seminary degree, but you may or may not have the languages that are included, studying Greek and studying Hebrew. And so if you're going to be preaching or teaching, real helpful to be able to go back to the original languages and translate out of that when you preach and teach and speak with authority. I also took, I think Joe mentioned he teaches a personal spiritual discipline or spiritual formations class. We call it personal spiritual disciplines at Midwestern. And basically it's just... it's to make sure that when you're there at the seminary, even though you can learn and get tons of book smarts, the personal spiritual disciplines classes, you know, we read Pilgrim's Progress, and we read a book that goes through the importance of fasting and prayer and meditation, scripture memory, and listening to the word, and service, and worship, and just making sure that we also have the right heart, you know, while we're there at seminary, that it's not just to become book smart and be able to win an argument or something like that, but that it is really to do ministry and to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord. And then also I took History of Christianity, and obviously that's just a, you know, a snapshot, but that's what maybe a first semester schedule would look like for you guys if you're an MDiv student. And then lastly, obviously there's a lot of different things you can do with a seminary degree, whether you feel like God's calling you to preach, to be a missionary, to be a counselor, to be a professor. Many guys probably look up to your BSU or Christian Challenge directors, and definitely that would, you know, be a thing that would equip you to do that effectively. I'm working part-time. Like I said, I work at I'm a case manager at a homeless shelter. I deliver pizzas for Papa John's. And really, I love that job because, number one, I can work just a couple days a week, but also it gets me interactions every day because I'm living on that campus. I live on the campus. I go to class on the campus. It gets me off that campus to, I've been able to have lunch and share the gospel multiple times with people that I work with and stuff like that. So anyway, I took a lot longer than these guys, but I just wanted to kind of, you know, maybe that would kind of identify with some of you guys because, obviously there's a lot of different reasons you could go to seminary. I don't necessarily, at this point, know for sure that God's calling me to be a senior pastor or to be a missionary or whatnot, but I feel strongly that He's called me to do full-time ministry, to be actively involved, you know, every day of my life in winning people to Christ, to discipling men, and so that's what I know so far, and seminary was the next step to really prepare me to do that in whatever capacity it might be. So that is what we're praying over the next 3 years, is just that God will hone that. The other, last thing I'll mention is probably, I'm sure, similar at each of the other seminaries as well, but we have a chapel, you know, every week. And I knew a little bit about chapel before I came, but I didn't really know exactly what to expect. But that's a neat thing about seminary is that every week we have two chapels you can go to, and we bring in speakers from all over the world, all over the country, pastors that are... really making a difference, doing different things and have vibrant congregations all over the country. The executive producer for Facing the Giants, I know you guys saw that movie, they brought him in and he just got to tell that story of how did Sherwood Baptist Church or Sherwood Bible Church in Georgia, Albany, Georgia, come to produce this major motion picture that is really an effective tool for evangelism and really well done. The president of Chick-fil-A, you know, came in and spoke, and he's this real solid Christian man. So it's neat to see a man in the business world who's really making a difference for Christ. And Don Richardson, who wrote Eternity in Their Hearts. You guys, some of you guys might have read that book. I know it's out here on the bookshelf. But just being able to hear from some of the, you know, career missionaries that have been all over the world and get exposed to them and talk to them, just really neat opportunity. So anyway, yeah, we'll open it up for questions now, guys. And if you have questions for me, Joe, or Ed, please feel free to shoot.
Why don't you guys tell us who you are and where you're from? Maybe that will break the ice a little bit. You're the only one on my right.
I guess. My name's Zach Eckert. I go to Northwest College in Powell, Wyoming.
All right. I'm Tom Josephson. I'm a recent graduate from University of Colorado. Currently an intern with the Christian Challenge there.
My name is Robin
Dixon.
I'm from Mexico
State University.
My name is Lydia
Rinke.
I go to Portland State.
Do you all have a passion in your heart right now for an area of ministry? Is there, you know, obviously, you're interning.
Right.
So maybe college ministry or something?
Yeah. Just try to kind of explore this for different routes, maybe something overseas. Or all I know is I don't like my other job, which is like a computer job. So I don't really see myself sitting there for 40 hours a week.
IT for God?
IT for God. I don't T for God.
Identify with Andy in the insurance business.
Yeah, actually, that really kind of sounded familiar because that's exactly what I'm doing. I mean, I'm working. Doing some computer stuff, but then at the same time I'm working as an intern with Christian Challenge. And just, yeah, that meeting with guys, and like, even just like younger freshman guys and stuff, and just seeing them kind of start to get it, it's really something I really like. I went on a focus trip this last summer, and that was cool. But I don't know, ever since, is Dr. Tomlinson your teacher for either of those classes?
For New Testament.
For New Testament, I figured that.
And then he'll be for my Greek teacher next year.
Yeah, ever since he came and spoke at CU 2 years ago, the way he just able to talk about the New Testament and just make it kind of come alive, mm-hmm. I've just been like, I need to learn these things. Kind of, I don't really know where my life is going or what area of ministry, or who knows, maybe I even end up in the workplace somehow, mm-hmm. but I just want to go and learn. Like you're saying, you go learn about the Bible all the time. That's what I want to do. So
yeah.
I just have a hunger to learn, I think.
You were shaking your head, yes. But.
Yeah, I've been called to do counseling and or social work. So I'm looking into a place that I can get a license for counseling there, but be able to counsel in a secular, place, but biblically, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's tricky. Southern Baptist.
I'll tell you, it won't work with us. I mean, so
most of the seminaries we don't have a counseling program right now. Most of the others teach what they call pneumatic counseling, which is a type of, I know Southwestern does, which is basically pastoral care and counseling. But that doesn't necessarily translate into a license in family and marriage and family counseling or something like that. So you need to be asked some really good questions when you're contacting seminaries. Does this program lead to a licensure at the state level, or call the state and say, I can get this at a seminary, what else would I have to do at a secular college to get the license? So you're in a little different situation. Although we all have counseling type programs, pastoral care.
Mm-hmm. We definitely have a counseling program. Larry Cornine is the guy that does our counseling program. He started a counseling ministry in Kansas City called Diakonos or Diakonos, which means servant or counselor, and it's still going very strong. But then he basically leads the whole program. But yeah, I'm sure it's very similar to what these guys are talking about. But definitely it's a good solid counseling.
We're not newthetic, so I want to make that qualification because that's it doesn't mean probably anything to the rest of you who's not looking at counseling, but if I could put that on the spectrum, Newthetic is Jay Adams, is Masters Seminary and College. Southwest has got
Southwestern, isn't it?
They've got, yeah, well, actually, they have both, and they're coexisting on the campus, which I don't.
Their recruiters are saying we're totally pneumatic in terms of what they
but
teach.
But Stuart Scott's there, and we teach biblical counseling, but biblical counseling is not Newthetic. Newthetic has nothing to do with the sciences. In fact, they would say that they're not only are they not useful, but they are non-existent as far as Newthetic counseling is concerned. Biblical counseling would be counseling that would say the sciences are helpful but not necessary. So there's certainly things we can learn from the sciences, but we're going to filter everything as our basis is going to be the Bible. As you go into a secular setting, I think one of the things that I would echo was make sure you ask the right question at the seminary. Make sure you look into what you're saying you want to do, because my experience has been, and as a pastor, 80% of what I do probably outside the pulpit, besides study, is counseling. But if you go into a secular setting and you say you want to counsel from a biblical perspective, you need to find out what setting you're going to be able to do that. Because if you're working in a state agency or a secular institution, you are going to find most of the time you are not going to be free to express your root problem is sin. And the way to deal with that is through Jesus Christ, or you know, through the revelation of God that we know of as the Bible. You're not going to be able to say that. And so to train yourself biblically to use something you're never going to be able to use in a secular setting, that can get really tricky. So,
but you can't start a private practice as a Christian counselor and use secular counseling methods on top of biblical methods. There are a lot of, when I was pastoring in Texas, one of the larger churches had a counseling center, and they hired people who had licensures in Texas to do that kind of thing. So those opportunities are there. And there are seminaries. Fuller Seminary offers licensure type of programs, but you also, Truett does as well, but you also have to be very careful with the seminary. You need to know, do they match you theologically? Because I'm doing my D-Med at Fuller. It's a good program, but they're all over the map theologically. So you have to be very careful to match your own theology as well as you can with the seminary that you're going to attend. But those opportunities are out there as well. Or to combine a counseling program with a theological certificate or another diploma program on one of our campuses to get the Bible in addition to the secular counseling experience as possible.
So do you think that maybe it'd be more beneficial for me to go like just to a master's program of social work or counseling, like kind of like you were saying, and take just classes on?
Given what you want to do, I would say your best bet is to go to you can go to most state colleges and get a license in marriage and family counseling. There are a lot of Baptist colleges that all have masters in marriage and family counseling. Baylor, UMHB, a lot of those places. And then to try to tack on to that an additional theology program to get the Bible in, and to do it in either way. A lot of the seminaries offer MAs. We offer diplomas, certificates. We have a diploma in Bible teaching that you could do. You could do ours online for the diploma. So those options are out there.
I don't know all the counseling lingo, but Andy and I have friends that are going through Dr. Cornett's program at Midwestern, and one of our friends, he's going through it. You have to be under a real counselor for 3 years before you can be licensed, and he's doing that through Diakonos. So, I mean, I don't know all of what that means, but it's going on. So, I mean, Dr. Cornett might be a good person for you to call.
And you can call, find these professors, find the professor that's teaching in that area at any of our seminaries and pick up the phone and call them. they'll be happy to say, you know, this is what you can do and this is how you can do it and what you can't. That's always a good thing.
The only thing, let me just, we're all here on the same team, but I gotta adamantly disagree with something that Joe said, and there's no offense. The last place I would want to see you is at a state college in a social work or psychology program if you want biblical, if you want to have a counseling ministry built on the Bible, because the basic presupposition of what you're going to get at a state school versus even Truett or Fuller is so opposed to each other. If you don't start from a biblical basis, it's just two different worlds out there. So, somewhere like Fuller even or Truett, just someplace where you at least they're coming at it with at least the base presupposition, because the secular counseling world is we don't have time to get into that, but we're over-medicating, we're addressing issues all from the wrong. I mean, we've got a whole society that is being corrupted from the inside out because of what state colleges are teaching about counseling and social work. So,
and understand, I was an Army chaplain for quite a while, so I dealt with a lot of secular counselors, and there are good secular counselors. I had Christian counselors who were in my chapel services, but who counseled at a secular in the Army as a secular counselor. So you have to weigh the programs. You have to weigh your level of maturity, your ability to do those programs and to look at them from a Christian perspective. If you're not real strong in your faith, if you haven't had a lot of biblical training to discern what you're getting and to pick and choose, then Ed's probably right. But the truth is, the path to what you want to do, if you wanted to work in the Army as a counselor and to use that as a mission outreach, the Army wouldn't look at you without a state licensure. But if you can get it at a Baptist college, get it at a Baptist college. If that's not an option for you, then be discerning in the classes that you have.
I mean, right now I'm a psychology major, and so there are classes that I definitely take that I am never going to go into. I work at a psychiatric hospital right now, and I really feel like that's where God's wanting me to be. I don't feel like I'm called at this time to go counsel in a church, and that's what I mean. Like, I feel like I'm called to go, like, that's my ministry. To go and be a counselor, but still share. And so, I mean, I've looked into Truett, I've looked into Southern, I've looked into different ones. What was the other one?
Fuller.
Okay, I haven't looked into that one yet, so I'll look into that one.
Fuller's in Pasadena now. In terms of expense, Fuller's one of the most expensive seminaries in the country. But they're also, they have, in evangelical circles, they have a very good reputation. And in the psychology community, their program has a good reputation as well. It's fully accredited. So, again, I would encourage you to think about the theology. Ask those tough questions.
Talbot's got it.
Talbot has a counseling program. Viola.
Talbot, Viola, both. We haven't, did you have an area,
I actually want to go into counseling also.
Okay.
I know a lot of what she's talking about. I'm a psychology major also, so it's,
And those degrees, there are things you can do in ministry. There are types of ministry where that background would benefit you greatly. Hospital chaplaincy, any type of institutional chaplaincy, tremendous background to come out of psychology or counseling. So don't think that there might not, that you want to explore those areas as well, because maybe God has put you in psychology to put you in a position where you're going to be working with people in that way day by day, but it might not be as a psychiatric nurse or as a counselor or practitioner. Maybe you're going to be a pastoral counselor in a chaplaincy kind of setting, in a hospital, in the military, something like that. always have to put a plug in for the military challenge. That's a great thing.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking more into, I've been getting involved with our campus ministry and getting ready to lead a discipleship group and some things like that. And I've been involved with youth ministry, but I haven't, I guess, until recently, really felt called and felt like I need to maybe look at a seminary and things like that. So I guess I'm not quite sure what to look for and things like what are or is there differences between, say, a seminary and Christian college, or, you know, what, I guess, what should I be looking for when looking at a seminary, if that's not too broad a question.
No, that's a good question. The seminaries are master's level training, so the difference in a college, a Bible college degree, is that it's going to be a BA or an associate's, whereas a seminary is going to be master's level. And the courses are going to be offered at a master's level. The expectation is you have the bachelor's, you know how to do the research, here's some additional material we want you to study, and you're going to take the languages in an MDiv program at any of our seminaries. So it gets a little more intensive. But what you want to look for in a seminary is the seminary accredited? All six of our Southern Baptist seminaries are. What is the theological perspective of the seminary? Are they evangelical? Are they conservative? Or are they, there are some highly liberal seminaries out there. And you've got to determine what the right mix is for you in terms of your own belief system. You can wander into a seminary that by the time you get out, you may not even be sure you're a Christian anymore. I recruited with a recruiter in Massachusetts from Hartford Seminary. This is a Christian seminary that trains Muslim chaplains for the military to be Muslim chaplains. So that kind of thing should sound some alarm bells. You want to ask every seminary that you call, what is your statement of faith? What do you work off of?
And talk to pastors, talk to your pastor, that sort of thing. You know, talk to people that have experience with those seminaries, because it's one thing to read a statement of faith, because a lot of times you can read a statement of faith and they're like, that looks pretty good, you know, but the practical outworkings of what does that look like, can be different.
Christianity is so, I mean, you know, 70% of America says they're Christian.
Right.
You know, I mean, but think about how broad that is. And so you get a Christian institution, that doesn't make you any guarantees anymore. I think a Christian college, you know, most of them are liberal arts programs where we're so focused. All the seminaries is, it's just, you know, this isn't a place just to get an education. It's, you know, to prepare you for ministry. Whether that be vocationally, what we call vocational full-time ministry, or whether it's to better, we have degrees for lay people. I think all of you, we all have degrees for lay people, don't we? We have programs for just for lay folks.
We do. We allow anyone can enroll in our diploma programs.
We just have a bachelor. We don't allow vocational ministers into it because it's not intensive enough.
Right. We have some of those lay oriented kind of programs as well.
So that, you know, that'd be the main difference for me, is that, I mean, if you come to seminary, even the undergrad programs at Midwestern or Southern, you're prepared for ministry there.
The real test, visit the campus. All of our campuses, I think, for the most part, will put you up. I know we will. If you can get to San Francisco, we'll house you, we'll feed you while you're there, we'll show you the campus, we'll put you in the dorm. So then you're able to talk to some people that aren't paid to tell you to come to the seminary. Some of the students, you get to sit in on some classes, meet some professors. There's no better way to gauge. Now, I didn't do that. When I decided to go to Golden Gate, it was New Orleans or Golden Gate, and I wanted to get as far away from South Carolina as I could, so I went to Golden Gate. And didn't regret that decision. But the best thing to do is visit the campus. You'll get a different feel for it than just reading the catalog or talking with one of us. So.
Like when I went on to Midwestern's campus, I mean, evangelism is something big on my heart. And it's like every building I walked in, there was a massive advertisement for Midwestern evangelistic teams, you know. And it was Monday, meet here. Tuesday, meet here. Wednesday, meet here. Thursday, Friday, you can meet at this time here or this time here. Saturday, Sunday. And I was just like, they have an evangelist team every single day of the week. And when I was still in college, again, not thinking about seminary, I had one of my friends got married in Kansas City. And during the day of his wedding, how he wanted to spend his day of his wedding was going out. He had a friend that was going to seminary and was a part of one of these evangelistic teams. And so I wasn't the groomsman, but I gave the gospel message at the wedding. And so I was like, so I joined them. And so with this Midwestern evangelistic team, the day of this guy's wedding, we went into like one of the poorest, most broken neighborhoods in Kansas City, and went into a very, very rundown apartment complex full of prostitutes and drug dealers, and shared the gospel for about 4 or 5 hours, and then went home and changed, and then the guy got married. But you know, I didn't even know it. I don't think at the time, but at the time, the guy leading that team is still the evangelism professor at Midwestern, and I took the evangelism class this summer. And just to hear his heart for evangelism and see that he's not just teaching about evangelism, but every week he goes out, you know, with the evangelism teams, and just to see that heart, you know, because, yeah, there are a lot of seminaries that would say that they were almost even opposed to evangelism, you know. And so that was something big that I looked for, was that it's one thing to say even that you're evangelical, but more and more churches, ministries, seminaries are, even to the point where they're like opposed to evangelism, just going out sharing the gospel with people.
And you will get a different, there's seminaries attract different populations of students. So our student body is going to be different from Midwesterns, and it's going to be different from Southern. It's definitely going to be different from Southwestern. The students that come to us tend to be highly focused, missions, highly focused, practical, less focused academically, although we have some our programs are fully academically qualified, and we have some very bright students on our campus, but they're very practically oriented. And they're very focused on urban kind of ministries, and ministries that engage the culture in a different way. So we send student teams out to the Castro District as well. But we're not going to take a tract with us. The Castro District is the gay district in San Francisco. Because there are 15 organizations standing there with tracts yelling at them. We go out, they set up a table, they put cookies on the table, they put up a sign, "We love you and so does Jesus." And people will come up all night and talk to them. So our approach is different because of our location. And some of that you need to know who are the students that are going to these campuses, where do I fit, because I'm still in the ministry because of the relationships I made in seminary, because of the students I met who I'm still in contact with, because of the professors who've continued to email me and call me since I got out and say, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you? And have you considered this as a next step in your ministry career?" So those relationships are as important as the degree you're going to get at the end.
You can do international ministries with just about any people group on the planet in San Francisco. So, you know, and never leave the United States. I mean, it truly is probably, you know, one of the most diverse places in the country. So.
Commuter campus, as opposed to all of us have, we call our campuses campuses. We don't call them extension centers because they're fully accredited individual organizations. So our Denver campus, our Rocky Mountain campus, we consider it as important as our Northern California campus. But Al's experience will be different coming here than my experience was living in the dorms at the Northern California campus too. And some of it is where you are in life, you know. Can you pick up and move across the country to go to seminary? Or are you connected to a ministry right where you are? And you say, "Well, what's the closest option for me? Because the ministry is where God has me, and it's his priority, and I want the education on top." So think about where God wants you right now and what he wants you doing, and is the education something you need to be doing full-time or part-time? It took me 10 years to get my MDiv because I pastored, I did other things. So there's no rush. I'd say it's important, but the timing is up to you and God. So.
it's distance-wise. You can do 30 hours of internet with us. I think you can do up to half with...
Half of the MDiv.
Half the MDiv. How much?
You have to do at least a third of your degree on Midwestern's campus.
So, but you could do two-thirds of it online?
Between our extension campuses and between online.
Okay. Yeah. We're allowed up to 30. So I think up to 40-something.
Yeah, with us, you can do half of your MDiv online. You can do the rest. Our courses are blocked so that in Denver you come one day a week here for class.
Yeah, one day a week.
And then they have classes where you can come for a week, and then you do the remainder of the course online and get full credit for the class. So we try to make it so that you can do classes flying in or driving in as well. With us, you could do half of our degree online and go to the extension at Midwestern in Oklahoma City, and we would give you the degree from Golden Gate. We just need to transfer credits in that match our credits. So there are a lot of options if you need to stay where you are.
And as far as the Rocky Mountain campus goes, there are individuals that drive in from New Mexico. One of the reasons that they do it the way they do is on Mondays, you can come in and just take a ton of classes. And there's guys who will be campers and sleep in the parking lot that night and then head back the next morning because they're taking so many classes into the night because that's the only day they can make it up every week. So
the course I'm going to teach in J-term is I'm teaching it for 4 days. From 8:30 in the morning till 5 in the evening, it's horrible.
but you can get the degree that way, and so they only have
to... People are flying in from all over the country to take that class, and they're done in 4 days, and they go home and write a paper and mail it to me.
A lot of courses like that. You'll get the cities teaching this, and when you start January. A couple days, you'll start this. The people that are enrolled in that class maybe got the syllabus in December. And it's got all the course requirements. It's got you need to read this book, do this, and then these are the papers you're going to have to write. And then they'll come in for the coursework, and then they'll maybe have like the course. I did some of you guys grabbed this CD. We did a conference on sharing the gospel with Jehovah's Witnesses in the fall. So I went to this 2-day conference. We offered 2 hours of free credit for that. So I went to the conference in October, but then all the coursework wasn't due until today at 4 p.m. And so I had to sell it before that, and then over the last 3, 4, 5 months I've been working on it. But it took me a while because I wanted to focus on my full-time courses, and then once the semester ended, back in mid-December, then I basically committed the last 3 weeks to really finishing up that coursework. So, yeah, it is nice that seminaries do that. They really try to make it to where, say, you're pastoring a church. A lot of times a church... Yeah, I mean, number one, they'll give you a day off, a lot of them, obviously, during the week, because you're working on Sundays, but number two, they'll let you take a Tuesday or whatever, or a Monday and drive in for classes.
I went to seminary with some guys that did just seminary until they got to the point where they had to go do something in ministry in order to get their internship credits, which every seminary does, and that's all they did in terms of ministry. And none of those guys are still in the ministry today. I would encourage you, if you're going to go to seminary, when you get to seminary, plug into a church ministry somewhere. Look for a position or volunteer at a church. Do ministry because the classes will mean more to you because you have done it and you are doing it while you're in seminary. It's something the professor will say will rattle in your head. Well, I can preach that on Sunday, or I could teach that to my youth group. It's important. It's an important part of your education.
And that's why I said you can't sign up for classes if you don't. You fill out that form every semester, and you don't sign up until you tell us where you're ministering and what you're doing, because it is. I mean, it's exactly what you said. You're not going to make it. If you're setting yourself up while you're in school, what's going to determine your priorities in ministry throughout the rest of your life? And that is, you see, when you've been in, as long as Joe and I, you see a lot of people come and a lot of people go, and the ministry's tough. There's no doubt about it. And so we want to do the best we can prepare you, and part of that is getting you plugged in and doing real ministry right now.
And the real question people are asking today is seminary necessary? I would say, you know, if you're going to spend your whole life as a youth minister, which almost no one ever does, that many churches honestly are hiring their youth ministers from within the church, particularly the larger churches, and they're grooming them themselves. But eventually those pastors find that they need to connect them to some kind of theological program. So do you have to have the degree? No. But if you think of your whole life in ministry and the fact that you may be a youth minister now, and I used to say I would never be anything but a youth minister. I'm never going to pastor. You couldn't make me pastor a church. And the very first thing I did when I got to seminary is take a church pastor. Today, the average church receives 150 resumes for any one pastoral position. And the cut on those resumes are going to be, do you have an MDiv? So you need to think long term how God may use you as you're getting older. And you need to think about the fact that, you know, everybody, a call to minister really is a call to prepare. That I found out in my first pastorate that it's a little hard to preach 52 sermons and stay fresh every single week. You know, Jesus came, He saved us, He died, He's coming back. What else do I preach next week? You know, so seminary will help you get that depth, so you can do that.
Any of you, there is that Midwestern? You got a card up there?
Yeah, those are our sign-up cards. If you'd like more information,
Golden Gate and Southern cards here. If you guys, we got about 5 minutes left. If you guys, if it's all right, I'd like to have you guys just fill out a card for each of us, since we can have a record of your visit. I promise nobody will visit your front door, or you know, unless you call and ask us to.
You can't have too much information.
No.
We're going to bombard you with it when you fill out the card. We will tell you you can't have too much.
I will. You get an email from me and. Midwesterns provide you with wonderful pens, so.
Pens, that's right. Back here.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah.
And frisbees from Golden Gate, if you don't know what those little blue things are.
Yeah.
They're not hot hats.
And take an extra one and give them to somebody, because I don't want to carry them back on the plane.
Obviously, all of us will be around at our tables, so if you want to talk more, I would encourage all of you, if you don't know, ggbts.edu, Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, sbts.edu, Midwestern is
MBTS.
MBTS. I always want to put the W in there, it kicks me back.
And I tell you what, I go to Midwestern, but I get almost a daily email from the president of Southern, Al Mohler. And I don't know, it's just challenging, so it's got a lot of good stuff in it.
Google Southern Baptist Seminaries, and all six of them will pop up.
There you go.